Have you ever told a lie? What is the most significant lie that you have ever told? Do you know who told the first lie in history? The snake was tempting the woman to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lied to her saying, "You will not certainly die." That was the first ever lie in history. And there have been plenty more lies ever since then. In fact, for many people, lying is an integral part of life. You may even have heard famous world leaders lying. Do you remember, for example, the one written on a bus? Do you remember that one? Something about Brexit and money and NHS. You remember that one? But more recently, that kind of almost seems insignificant when you think about the lies that have been told this last week, thousands of miles away. You can list the lies. We are not going to invade Ukraine. That turned out to be a lie, right? We are going into Ukraine on a peacekeeping mission. That, I think, we can say 100% a lie. We are going to denazify Ukraine. We will only attack key military sites. We will not attack civilians. Did you know that they were all lies? Did something revolt inside you when you heard those lies and you saw the reality? But here's a question, you see. It's easy to tell when someone else is lying, but are we aware when we ourselves are not telling the truth? Are we prepared to admit when we have been lying? And do we ever fall into the trap of believing Satan's lies? You see, thousands of years ago, a man and a woman believed the words of a snake, but you see, the snake was lying. And because of that, the whole world became cursed. The very ground we walk on is cursed. God said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you." Now, here's an interesting thing. The ground is cursed not because of what the snake said, per se, but because the man chose to believe the snake. Cursed is the ground because you listened to the snake instead of listening to living God. Cursed is the ground because you chose to obey the snake rather than to obey the word of God. And if any of you are gardeners, you will know that the ground is cursed. Think of this one. I mean, why is it that grass will grow easily on the vegetable patch? Between the slabs on the patio, in the cracks on the drive, but it refuses to grow on the lawn. The world of agriculture is so much more difficult because cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. And even though modern farming methods seek to circumvent the problem by the use of chemicals, we now know that many of those chemicals are creating as many problems as they are solving. Let's read Genesis chapter 3 again this morning. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals in the garden that God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the snake, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the snake said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Now, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the snake deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the snake, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the garden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. I've spoken on this subject so many times, often one-on-one. I probably discussed it with George 25 years ago or whatever, you know, and I preached on it as well. And this time last week, in my mind, I knew that I would be preaching on those things like the fact that there's the sacrifice for the garments of skin, all those kind of things. But I tell you what, as the news reports kept coming in, the message this morning changed. Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. And as we have already said, we see it in the world of agriculture. But that is not the only domain in which we see that the ground is cursed. Right now in Ukraine, the focus on the ground has shifted from agriculture to war. Tools for farming have been replaced by tools for fighting. In peacetime, it has often been said about Ukraine, the rich, dark soil and the vast fields of wheat and other products have earned Ukraine the title Bread Basket of Europe. But the focus on the ground has shifted. Tractors replaced by tanks. Rotavators replaced by rockets. Market gardening replaced by military aggression. My friends, the words God spoke to Adam are still true today. Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. Can we move on to the next slide, please? And the thing is, the curse started in the day of Adam, and the curse continues. Just as one lie leads to a greater lie, so the curse continues to escalate throughout history. In the very next chapter of Genesis, chapter 4, that we'll be looking at next week, we read how Cain killed his brother Abel. And we see that word curse again. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. The Lord said to Cain after the murder of his brother, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." The land is under a curse. And the people are under a curse. And the curse is escalating, even as we are witnessing on the border with Europe. And the word curse is found throughout Scripture. Not once, not twice, not three times, but 178 times. Yes. There are 178 Bible verses that contain the word curse or curses or cursed. And here is a very interesting example. We'll move on, please. Next slide. Anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse. And these words come from Deuteronomy chapter 21. And this is very interesting because in the Old Testament times, even though certain crimes were punishable by death, those criminals' bodies should not be left on a pole. And in Deuteronomy 21, just 22 and 23, let me just read that for you. It simply says, if someone guilty of a capital offense is put to death and their body is exposed on a pole, you must not leave the body hanging on the pole overnight. Be sure to bury it that same day, because anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse. You must not desecrate the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse. And here is the interesting thing. The person hung on the pole is under a curse, but also the land is desecrated too. And we have been talking about land or ground this morning. God said to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. And now the land could be further desecrated if the bodies of criminals were left on a pole overnight. Now, does this remind you of someone or an event in the Bible? What about the crucifixion of Jesus, when Jesus, together with two criminals, were put to death on sophisticated poles that by that time were known as crosses, but essentially a pole? And John's gospel gives us an interesting detail. John chapter 19, verse 31. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. This is about the crucifixion of Jesus. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus, they found that he was already dead, and therefore they did not break his legs. So a question for you: why did the Jewish leaders not want the bodies left on the crosses overnight and into the Sabbath? Did they perhaps have in mind the verse that we have read just now from Deuteronomy? That is, anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse. You must not desecrate the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Having read the account of the crucifixion of Jesus, I don't honestly think that the Jewish leaders cared too much about the victims of crucifixion who could become under a curse. I would suggest they had another concern. Maybe they did not care about the victims. Maybe they were more concerned about their land. They did not want their land to be desecrated. And you think about it, people around the world get motivated because of land. And surely that's what this whole Ukraine conflict is about: land. Let's move on to the next slide, please, number four. Now we get to something really interesting, because the Bible tells us that Jesus became a curse for us. Now that's going to take some understanding, right? Because that just, God, the God of blessing, how can God become a curse? You're only going to understand it if we bring all these scriptures together in one place. What does it mean, Jesus became a curse for us? Well, let's think about it. We have just mentioned the crucifixion of Jesus, and we've said that crucifixion took place on a cross which was a sophisticated pole. So how can that be? How can it be that the God who made the rules, the God who said anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse, how come Jesus, who is God, came to be hung on a pole? Was he God under God's curse? I think the answer has to be yes, because that's what the Bible is telling us. Jesus, who is God, was hung on a pole, that is to say, on a cross, so that he could redeem us, that is, so that he could pay the penalty for our sin. And the inspiration for this comes, as you can see, from Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So think about it, my friends, the curse that came in the time of Adam has been resolved for those who receive Jesus by his Holy Spirit. If you choose to believe in Jesus, he will redeem you from the curse. And now we'll move, please, to our last slide. Imagine that you were stuck in Ukraine right now. You may well say that life on earth is not worth living. You may well ask, is there anything better to come? And the answer has to be yes. There absolutely is something better to come for those who receive Jesus. Are you looking forward to eternity with Jesus? Because in the very last book of the Bible, in the very last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, we read this. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Have you been watching the news this week? Do the nations need healing? And then verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. No longer will there be any curse. This morning, in a sense, we've done a history of the curse, where it came from, how it developed, who resolved it, and why there's going to be no curse in eternity. As we look at the news on our phones, or maybe on our TVs, we may well ask the question, what is wrong with our world today? And the answer is that our world has turned its back on the living God. That is why our world is under such a curse. But for those who receive Jesus, God has broken the curse. So I invite you, please, receive Jesus by his Spirit. He wants to give you life and he wants to transform you for today and for eternity. Amen.